land where phrases like, I have a dream, meant something. I grew up where I believed that freedom existed, that that's what I was fighting for. I believed that the Statue of Liberty was a symbol of our liberty, that we all came from all over the world because we didn't want to live underneath the monarchy, that our founding fathers made America the land of the free and the land of the brave. I don't care what you say to me. I don't care if there's a shadow government or there's people out there that's trying to take it away from us. This is America, damn it, and I'm taking it back.
And now your host, Terry Joyce.
All right, welcome to the Freedom of Joyce show here on American Freedom Radio. I am Terry Joyce, your host, and thank you very much for tuning in today. Later on, later on in the show, on the second hour, I'm going to be bringing in Nate Gray, is going to be the featured guest today. Nate, it's kind of interesting. He claims to have been, he's a mutant. He's basically had his DNA, tampered with and, has been used in, special programs, and as such. And so it ought to be, an interesting show. Again, I realize that, for a lot of people who may know me as a cannabis activist and also other topics that I do deal with on Freedom of Joyce, that might be a bit of a stretch of someone's imagination to think that there is any type of genetic mutation going on with some people, and then how that genetic mutation might be used in what would be considered a secret government or, et cetera. I mean, again, Nate Gray is a character of the X-Men series. And apparently there might be a little bit more reality to people who are mutated or have had certain experiments done and may not be so quite off the mark. I just think it's kind of a good idea. Excuse me. Excuse me. That was not good. I apologize for that, for doing that on the air here. That is completely inappropriate for a radio host to just choke in the middle of what they're talking about. But anyway, I am human. I am not a mutant. I do choke every once in a while when I'm speaking. And no judgment for anybody who is a mutant. I want to say that mutant lives matter out there, or anybody's life matters for sure, whether you're an alien being, a reptilian being, or a human being. We all matter, hopefully. So they say in the hashtag, everybody matters. Now, whether or not everybody gets treated like they matter, that is another story. Also, forgive me for talking so specifically right in your face. Hi, this is the Terry Joyce Show, mainly because, life has been rather interesting for me. And in many ways, I've been into targeted individuals and things that have to do with targeting. I'm under the impression that that I'm living a targeted reality at this point in time. As I've had so many misfortunes happen all at once, and it's making it more and more difficult for me to broadcast anywhere. But I'm still here. If you would like to help me out, on a financial level so I can have a better sound, I do believe that it won't cost me too much, probably under $40 tops. And I can get a little headpiece and a microphone here to go along with my electronics. If you'd like to help me out with that, my PayPal is Hollywood Hemptress, H-E-M-P-T-R-E-S-S at gmail.com, as well as I have a blog, freedomofjoyce.net, and there's also a donate button there, too. But I heard that the donate button wasn't working right. I got to check that out. So, anyways, definitely you can help me out by PayPal. I am going in for some oral surgery starting on Friday, and that's going to put me out of commission for like a week. If you want to help me out that during those times, too, to kind of help me get by, it would be so, so appreciated. And not to just talk about myself, but also for American Freedom Radio, we are expanding here, and we are going into video. So, and also we have to cover costs to keep us going here on the air as well. It's because of you that we continue to broadcast. So please do take care of us at www.AmericanFreedomRadio.com and help us out with that. Okay, that being said, I was talking about Nate coming on later. I'm very excited to meet him. I've met a lot of people recently who are in the they're MyLabs, they're MK Ultra. They are what you consider to be maybe super soldiers, people having waking up with repressed memories and the like. I am in a way trying to sift out what the truth is on all of it as well. At first when you do hear some of the stories that people have, it can be quite outlandish. Although within all of that, I do believe that there is some truth to it. And some people that really have been through MK Ultra or Monarch programming, people that, are augmented, I think one of the most authentic ones who I've been having on my show on a regular basis is Duncan O'Finian. I do think that Duncan O'Finian for sure is the real deal. And he calls himself a CIA augmented admin, meaning he does have had hardware put in, and so that has definitely shown up in a CAT scan. We do know that he has been, on Jesse Ventura, and he's done some mainstream television about the topic. So he's probably also one of the most well-known ones. And I do intend to have Duncan on my show on a regular basis as well. Yesterday was quite interesting. Before I broadcast, I'm in a much better frame of mind today. Again, like when you talk about being targeted, I had a lot of computer and tech issues before that broadcast, as well as my water was turned off. But I am happy to say that the water is back on. Yay! Okay, so that was something that just if anybody wanted to. Wondered if I was going or cared. I mean, maybe you don't care. Maybe people don't give a squat whether or not I have the elixir of life running through my faucets. But water is it's very, very important. And we are dependent on water to sustain our very existence in this particular reality. Anyway, it came on about an hour after I completed the show, I'm not sure exactly what happened or why it was turned off. I suppose that those details will be filled in for me later. I had a lot of those things were happening before yesterday's show. And then today, Taj, who was, starting Taj Investigates, and he's part of the Basis Project and has been for a really long time. He went through a series of things today. He is actually making a YouTube video of our interview from yesterday. And in the middle of making it, his computer crashed, and he had to restart it all over again. That's one. His car broke down, and his scanner stopped working. So it just seems like we're having a bunch of mishaps surrounding this one last show. And, you know, hopefully when you listen to it, you'll go, well, I don't know what the big deal was there. But who knows? I do feel, you know, that there is a definite suppression of taking the positive point of view is my theory. I think that it's perfectly okay to put some disinfo out to people to confuse them alongside the truth. That doesn't seem to get, you know, any type of interruption. But I think that there are certain elements of information that the powers that be don't want to have out before they intend to have it out. Because obviously, you know, we have to be told stuff in order for us to be to either ignore it and not believe it, or basically take no action so that they can proceed with their plans as usual. So that being said, I would like to talk about another thing that seems to be causing us or is of some concern, should be concerned on a much more global or level, especially in the United States, but it has to do with the internet. And I'm going to pull up an article here just in a moment to read that to you. But first, I'm going to take a sip of my wonderful Starbucks that I bought here that I'm broadcasting off. You know, I'm broadcasting off of Starbucks Wi-Fi, so Starbucks better not fuck up during the show because we have to keep broadcasting. All right. Okay, so that being said, I am going to pull this up on my cell phone, which is also logged into the Starbucks internet, that I agree to say, yes, the government can follow me through Starbucks. Anyway, so what this is from dailywire.com. And it's got a picture of Obama, a side view with his head and his chin. Oh, the thinking man, our president thinks so much to help imprison the Americans here on the planet. But and is it me or is Obama's head getting weirder and weirder looking? I mean, what is it when presidents go into office, they actually begin to look like the cartoon drawings that people make of them? I'm not sure. Maybe it's the different clones that they're swapping out that we're looking at. Who knows? But this says, is Obama about to cede control of the internet to foreign governments? Here's everything you need to know. President Barack Obama's Commerce Department has agreed to shift the country's internet domain system over to a nonprofit organization called the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers, ICANN, ACANN, that's all caps, the acronym, starting October 1st. Defenders of the move argue that it's a necessary symbolic move, while others argue correctly that it would give control to foreign governments like Russia and China, which frown upon free speech. Here's everything you need to know about it. Okay, first of all, I do understand that China is against free speech. This is really kind of the first time that I'm hearing that Russia is oppressive as well. And I often wonder if that is just a propaganda slant against Russia, because in some ways, I'm sorry, but it seems like Putin is a little bit more interested in helping the American people than actually our own president. It seems like Russia seems to be aware of our Rothschild corrupt Federal Reserve system and, you know, the satanic Pentagon that the American people are subjected to. That's just an observation. I'm not saying, please don't quote me as being Russian friendly so that I can be on some sort of like, you know, a list of I don't know. I don't want to say terrorists because I don't want to put that buzzword out there. You know, for people to go, oh, did somebody say terrorism? Oh, where did that come from? Oh, it came from Terry Joyce. Oh, you know, and here I get like on some sort of marked, oh, you're a Russia sympathizer. But let's just talk about how our films have depicted Russian, antagonists, over time. I don't know if I said that right? Maybe it's protagonist. I have to, like, research that again. I get those things switched around. But you know what I'm talking about. The bad guy often had either a Russian or German accent. Of course, the good guy has an American accent. And the British ones, well, they go both ways. You can always tell what era, what country we were against during what time period. Just look at our movies, and you'll find out. You'll be able to recognize that. So the Daily Wire. Let's get back to this. Here's everything you need to know about it. What exactly is ICANN? According to the Atlantic and the Washington Examiner, ICANN is a multi-stakeholder organization featuring countries like Russia and China. ICANN helps assign domain names and top-level domains such as a .com and a .org. And is working toward adding even more domain names. Up until October 1st, the U.S. had control over ICANN to ensure that the organization would not fall under international control and allow authoritarian regimes to engage in censorship. That all changes when the U.S. government's contract with ICANN expires. The lobbying for the end of U.S. control of the Internet intensified due to Edward Snowden. After Snowden's leaks of the National Security Agency's government surveillance emerged, ICANN and other foreign governments used the U.S. use of surveillance in other countries as reason to end U.S. control of Internet governance. Net neutrality regulations also paved the way for the ceding of U.S. Internet control. As Arnold Alhert explains, the Front Page Mag, one of the main reasons the U.S. has argued to keep the Internet out of the hands of the United Nations International Telecommunications Unit, ITU, is that the Internet does not classify as a telecommunication service, and as therefore not in the ITU's purview. However, the net neutrality regulations specifically designate the Internet as a telecommunications service, hamstringing the country in arguing for the Internet to remain out of the ITU's control. With the U.S. relinquishing control of ICANN, it will likely fall under the ITU's control and risk being subject to censorship. Once the U.S. cedes control of it, nothing would stop it from folding into the ITU, especially now that the Internet is classified as a telecommunications service. In fact, ICANN's CEO, Fadeh Shadahe, has been considering the establishment of an office in Geneva, which is the location of the largest UN presence outside of New York. According to the Daily Caller, Shahade has also reportedly said that all governments are welcome in regard to ICANN's jurisdiction. At that point, Russia and China would have an easier time in censoring speech that is not to their liking. For instance, Republican senators Ted Cruz, Texas, and Mike Lee, Utah, and James Lankford, Oklahoma, wrote in a letter that they discovered that ICANN's Beijing office is actually located where the same building as the Cyberspace Administration of China, which is the central agency within the Chinese government's censorship regime, and that U.S. companies are folding to China's mandates for censorship. Even more chilling is the fact that ITU had passed a treaty that provided authority to governments to close off their citizens' access to the global internet and creating a digital iron curtain. According to the Wall Street Journal, if ICANN becomes a part of the UN, then they too will be subject to this treaty. Putting ICANN under UN control would also subject Americans' consumers to internet taxes. Kristen Wilson, a former senior advisor under the Bush State Department, told the Daily Caller, if the UN gains control what amounts to the directory and traffic signals of the internet, it can impose whatever taxes it likes. It likely would start with a tax on registering domains and expand from there. In other words, various foreign governments are salivating at the thought of using the internet as a revenue stream. There have been calls for Congress to fight this. Some have pointed out that the administration's transfer of internet governance violates current law, according to the Journal. Conservative critics say the administration has been flouting the existing restrictions. Brett Schaefer of the conservative think tank Heritage Foundation on Tuesday called the National Telecommunications and Information Administration announcement a direct violation of the current law, which prohibits use of taxpayer funds for the transfer. He said Congress should act to protect its constitutional authority in this matter. Another Baron Suska of the Conservative Tech Freedom Group said private plaintiffs could raise these issues in court soon, even if Congress doesn't act. Some conservatives say the domain name function could be government asset that can be privatized without congressional permission. Republican lawmaker Senator Charles Grassley, Iowa, and Representative Bob Goodacre, Virginia, sent a letter to Assistant Commerce Secretary Larry Strickling in June saying that the pending move would indeed violate the law. Although Congress is not taking serious action yet against it, Cruz admitted to block the move through his Protecting Internet Freedom Act proposal in June. And I have to say, I personally have not normally agreed or been a big fan of Senator Cruz, but I do agree with his action on this. So good for Boogerman. I keep calling him Boogerman. Because if you remember during his election time, he tried to eat his boogers. There is – that's some information on that we have. I shouldn't say but there you go on that. So – I don't know. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I've read a few articles on this. It's not like it's going to like absolutely, I think, happen, tomorrow. Like, it's not like I don't expect for, October 1st to happen. And before Halloween, we're not going to be able to download certain, videos on YouTube, et cetera. But I mean, you know, I do think that they're doing everything they can to stop us from communicating with one another, from sharing important information. And this could also, if you really think about it, be a direct attack on, you know, the truth media. This, what we're doing right now. I mean, obviously, what we're doing right now, it must be quite threatening. And also to think that, you know, what information is out there, is super, super, important. All right. I do also want to reiterate that, you know, what more things that you can look for here on the Freedom of Joy show and the game plan, from this time on out. Again, I will be taking a week off, starting next week. So I won't be here, broadcasting live. But once I do come back, there will be a focus on back onto the cannabis plant, which I've kind of, I feel in some ways, diverted from, by getting caught up in a lot of the Super Soldier ad action that is taking place as well. I'm not going to leave that topic either, because I actually also see that there's a need for some good journalism for these guys, and a journalism that is not compromised by people who may be recruiting individuals who are never in the program, but basically have other issues going on, and having them be exploited either by products or also by seminars and conventions that they can be funneled out into, that people pay big bucks to listen to things that perhaps might not be even might be sort of a disinfo aspect. One of the things that I feel as that we are missing here on many different levels, and again, I do want to reiterate too that I will also be starting back up my reality series, My Life in Jumbo's Clone Room, about my own behind the scenes process of the truth media and the journey that I'm going through to continue to broadcast and survive in all of it. I think that those of us that aren't compromised, we haven't given in to money or a deal with somebody or some sort of something. If you're really a beacon of light or a soldier in this particular whatever is going on right now in human history, you do end up being attacked. You do end up, the goal would be to make you go poor, to give you a bunch of obstacles so that you couldn't continue to keep doing what you're doing. And I think we need to take a look at that. That is a real sign. If you look at people like Duncan O'Finian, doesn't have anything right now, guys. I mean, Duncan O'Finian, I don't want to give away his own living situation because that's private information and I don't want to give that out, but he's really no better than me. Let's just put it that way. And again, he has basically been blackballed from any of speaking at any of the Awake and Aware conferences when he is probably one of the most legit persons of his kind. Okay. I find that to be really interesting. And I also want to point out the players in what was the catalyst for that. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it again. It happens to point to Mr. Sean David Morton is also involved in causing that to happen. If you want to find out more information about that, just take a look at my YouTube video. Go to my YouTube channel at Freedom of Joyce. And look at, the title, I titled it Sean David Morton, the Tax Swinging Cheater. I say that with humor in a sense, but I totally believe that it's somewhat true. I know,
I cracked myself up. I don't care. I made a pissed him off to no end, and he's probably doing his little quasi-remote fucking viewing satanic ritual bullshit towards me, but it's not going to work. Because I'm too pure, okay? So fuck you. But anyway, that being said, on the Shion David Morton front, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, people like him, you know, obviously, you know, and people, there's other names that I'm not going to be mentioned because, I don't, you know, they haven't really fucked with me, you know, are out there, and, there are people, that are also hosts that are, trolls, I believe, I know, and, they come with packages of drama around them, and I've spun off in that orbit for a while, and in a sense that is a huge lesson for myself to learn right now. I mean, I've only been in this for a couple of years, and but I'm just being really honest with everybody who is listening. Because not to say that I don't want to come off like, oh, I'm a victim of my life. Is this awful turmoil, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, yeah, it's not easy, but I'm dealing with it and, I'm learning a lot and I'm taking the actions that need to be done in order for me to live with this, and overcome it. First you have to identify what's actually really happening to you. And then from there, you move on. But I do believe that this is a time where the truth is going to be revealed. This is where the truth is really happening, and the veil is dropping. And let's just talk about, you know, Zen Gardner for a moment. I know that that's probably really shocking for a lot of people. I know people that, that have been featured on his blog. I'm pretty sure he's been interviewed here. You know, he's a pretty well-known person, but, you know, again, he has been, you know, Children of the Sun, and the, you know, he's been being implicated, with them as being, he was, I guess, one of their founders or leaders or whatever. And now, you know, it's got a whole, pedophile ring connected to it. This is what's happening here. You know, we have, not only is it, you know, like, you know, the Christians and the Catholic Church and everything else, it's people within our own media posing as, you know, this sort of quasi New Age solution, and yet they are also part of it. But come on, let's move the blinders off of our eyes and realize that of course this would be happening. What would make anybody think that there would not be people, you know, that they would not be wolves dressed in sheep clothing walking amongst us? Right? I mean, come on. Look what's really happening. Look what we're actually really up against here. Of course it's this way. You know, and maybe, like, you know, some of us get smacked around in the face a little bit, all right? Or we fall down on our knees, or, you know, we realize that, you know, the very personal relationships that we were in were peppered with deceit in them from the very, very beginning. And, you know, and I think that, you know, it's gonna be hard on us. It's gonna be hard on some of us because it's happening to some people on a personal level and not a personal level. I mean, think about it. We live in a world where there is deception being revealed everywhere. And, you know, they're the unawakened or the barely awakened, okay? The ones, the newbies, you know, who are now barely having this kind of dialogue.
they're going to be able to grasp the game plan quick enough to actually be able to engage themselves in it and protect their homes and their families. We don't know. Because what happens is we don't like to be wrong, right? We don't like to think that, you know, we've spent, you know, a 20-year span loving the Clintons and campaigning for the Clintons and being a Democrat and realize that, you know, Mr. Pimp Daddy may have been, like, off with Jeffrey Epstein, you know, screwing underage girls and maybe little boys. I mean, we don't want to think of Mr. Saxophone, you know, I like to put a cigar up, you know, your vagina, dude. And that doesn't even sound good, does it? Sorry, shit just comes out of my head. I hope this is entertaining, okay? we don't want to think that Mr. I Want to Put My Cigar Up Your Vagina, Dude, has forsaken us. You know, it's worse than just, a Cuban up the twat, okay? It's worse than that, all right? It's way worse than that, okay? So, anyway. You know what? I'm across the street. I can see a billboard. It says highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses. Sleep number, okay? So highest customer satisfaction with mattresses. Okay. And make sure you don't smoke a Cuban while you're lying on it, because it might not be flame retardant. All right. A little more Starbucks. I hate the taste of Starbucks, okay? But they have good Wi-Fi. I mean, I don't know. I prefer the coffee bean. I just said the coffee bean. Okay. This guy. I want to wave at people, you know. I probably look like a crazy lady, like, talking into my iPad right now, but whatever. All right, you are listening to the Freedom of Joy show on American Freedom Radio, and by the way, if you just tune in now and you're like, God, who is this lunatic woman on American Freedom Radio? Just so you know, my background is that I am a comedian, and hopefully some of this on some level is funny and entertaining to you. I figure, you know, hey, we might all be getting flushed down the toilet, but at least we can, like, hold our little cosmopolitans up in the air on the whirlwind of going down the tube and maybe have a laugh or two on the way down to the septic tank of our new reality. I don't know. One of the things that I do want to bring up here, and it might take me a moment to find it, is about a guy named James Casbolt, okay? And you probably all know this. Taj, I want to call him Taj. Taj was on the show, and basically he just told me that he got a letter from James Casbolt, and it's quite interesting, and it does have to kind of do with what is going on right now. On yesterday's show, I was talking about, you know, could the super soldiers be turning into, like, having a more of a global, conscious sort of, attitude about what's going on in the world? And, you know, are we having, like, you know, a shift of heart going on here? And I want to read this, actually. I think this is really kind of interesting. Hopefully I can get it to come up good enough. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Come on. All right. I'm trying to get it to go on the other way. All right. Well, I got my glasses on, so we'll see what happens here. All right. It says, oh Jesus, it's not big enough for me. I don't think I'm going to be able to read it. All right. Come on. All right, it's not gonna wanna, okay, well, maybe I can still. All right, the social, socio real political problem facing mankind today is overpopulation and a lack of resources. The solution is simply genocide or space Western civilization is dying. Or space travel and planetary colonization. Okay. Western civilization is dying. A cancer of, you know what? I'm going to have to read this another time. I can't get this to go right. I can't get it to be big enough. And I'm not going to be able to talk in here. Damn it. I'm not going to be able to read it. Well, let's see. Let's see what happens here. Maybe I can still read it. Let me see what I can do on the iPad instead as I'm talking. That doesn't sound very humanitarian, does it? I mean, when you say, oh, we've got a problem, that's very elitist sounding. We've got a depopulation program. We're going to have to, you know, we don't have enough resources. We're going to have to go off planet. You know, Western civilization is declining. That is like that philosophy is nothing new, right? Right? I mean, isn't that kind of like where, the chemtrails are happening and, that's the whole vaccination thing. That's our GMO food stuff going on. That's all the toxins. That's everybody getting cancer. That's all these things that, you know, we actually are witnessing, at this particular time. Again, you know, some people may not even want to admit that we are facing a soft kill or a genocide on the global population, or a downsizing, if you will, or a harvesting of people. I'm pretty sure that people that are in the 50 plus category would be considered to be not as desirable to maintain and have flourish on the planet. A lot of times people that are older tend to be a little bit more set in their ways and their belief systems and may not be as malleable or controllable. Although now we do have like the teenagers and the rebellion, the natural rebellion of the youth. So it's really hard to say, but you know, think about how many children are vaccinated and then they're also put on various psychotropic drugs or medications because they have ADD or they're dyslexic or whatever. There's basically a pill and a medicine that you can take for almost every single ailment that we actually really suffer with. Basically in the letter, and I guess I'm going to have to maybe read this tomorrow and find another way to pull this up. And my guest tomorrow is actually a spiritual and a psychological therapist that helps targeted individuals. And I'm going to go into that tomorrow. It's going to be a great show. She's going to be coming on. Jolene will be here tomorrow, so tune in for that. But one of the things that James Colt Casbolt talks about in his, in the article, he doesn't really say that, depopulation is going to be actually specifically what's going to be carried out, but there needs to be some major decisions that are going to come amongst the people as to what to do about the overpopulation that's happening on this planet and figure out what those solutions are is kind of how it reads to me. He talks about a certain project. I think it's Project Angola, which right now it's really difficult to find anything about it on the web. And he also talks about the merging of the classes. That on one side we have socialism, on the far left, on the far right we've got capitalism, and they're wanting to bring our society somewhere in the middle of that, where there isn't a battle between the classes, where the poor has nothing and the rich has everything, and then there's this anger and animosity between the two, and where the rich have private property and private things, and the poor don't have any of those things. So somehow in the middle there's going to be he predicts a cultural shift into getting into that particular middle ground, and then from there will be the anybody who is considered anybody with antisocial behavior will be excluded. And I'm not exactly sure what that entails. Is he talking about the sociopaths, the narcissists, the people that have no regard for human life? Is that the part that's not going to be tolerated? Or are we talking about the people that are dissidents that are wanting to fight for freedoms and social justices and equality of all living sentient beings on this planet? I would hope that it is the sociopath and the person that has the ultimate destructive behavioral pattern will be the one that is quarantined or, taken off the planet. Just think about what the world would be like if it had no narcissist. You know, it's like, remember that movie? There's a movie. I haven't seen it yet, but it's like A Day Without Mexicans. Apparently, A Day Without Mexicans, nothing gets done, all right? It's like, you know, your lawns will be mowed. Your houses won't be cleaned, and there'll be no busboys, and there'll be no cooks in the restaurants. There'll be none of that. So get used to it. I don't know exactly what that movie was about, but it makes me think about a day without the narcissist. Narcissists have been quite. It seems to be the quite, you know, the buzzword. It makes me think of the Jeff Foxworthy routine. You might be a redneck if you might be a narcissist if you can't stop talking about yourself. you're verbally abusive and you don't give a shit. You might be a narcissist if. You promise people microphones and then you never deliver them. Oh, did I just say that? Yes, I did. Yeah, well, you never know what comes out of my mouth or my brain. Anyway, I say narcissists deserve to be made fun of, and I'm just the girl to do it. And so, I don't know. I think... And this is what I want to come down to, okay? Because we have the narcissists, we have the augmented people, we've got all kinds of different people walking around this planet with different situations and issues. Again, I don't think everybody is human. I don't think everybody is human, okay? But that doesn't mean that just because you're human, you have empathy, or that you have compassion, or that you're a better person, okay? And it doesn't mean that if you're not human, that you lack those qualities as well. But I do think that the evolved sentient being does have empathy, does have compassion, does care about other people, does have love, and is capable of creation. All right. And there might be some beings that lack those things, have a certain type of DNA too. I'm not saying that they're all like that. And they do not, and they're not able to create. What they can do is they can control, and they can do black magic, or they can do all these other things. And they want to take the creative person, the person that has the DNA to be like that, which you know, some people might say that that's, you know, in the image of their maker, whoever that might be, right? Has the, they use those people. They feed off those people. They use those people to create their technology. They use those people to do their movies. They use those people to sing their songs and dance their dances and to create their propaganda. And what they do is they target them and they mind manipulate them and they control them and they use their resources for their own power. That I really think is really happening. Why do they do it? Because they can't do it for themselves. Because that person is the feed. They are the feed. They are feeding off of them and they're using them. And yeah, they're going to pay them as little money as they can possibly can because they're greedy, narcissist, dysfunctional son of a bitches. And a lot of them work in the entertainment business. All right. A lot of them are in our politics. A lot of them are our teachers. And some of them might be your mother and your father, and you have been a victim to those people. Is there reform for the narcissist? I'm not sure. Who knows? I mean, you know, are we going to elevate ourselves? Because right now, those assholes are ruining this planet and they're killing off the population, or they intend to kill off the population, and they think they have the better plan. And unless we, as people, wake up and realize that that's really what's happening and take action or figure out what that action is, because I really think of all the imaginations and the creativity and the amazing people that maybe are just asleep or are here and awake to do it, but they're being hit by, you know, elf waves or whatever. We need to figure this out. There still is a chance. There still is hope for us and the human race and the galactic race, because I think this is a galactic thing. This is an age-old thing, and our history is not what we thought our history was. We've been lied to on so many different levels, and it's our knowledge and our empathy and our love and our belief in ourselves that are going to make this happen, all right? One of those things that we can immediately take action on and open our eyes to is the cannabis plant. All right? Do not allow the powers that be to make you think that, oh, you've got legalization. You're going to be able to smoke it recreationally. Yeah, 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 yeah. Now let's pay the tax, man, and let us, you know, our government regulate it. You know what I found out recently? That Gavin Newsom has written laws that are that this new initiative, they interlock with each other like a glove. It's all freaking planned, people. And you know what? You're about to vote for it. You're about to vote for yourself to get fucked in the ass. That's right, California. That's right. We are about to vote ourselves to get butt fucked. Okay? Seriously, that's what's about to happen here. So I say vote no on Proposition 64. And we're going to go into that after I get my oral surgery. We are going to break down this election in California. I'm going to have speakers on it, and we're going to put this out there big time. Because the cannabis plant could heal so many people on so many different levels. And the fact that that information is not upheld by our leaders, our world leaders in this country, has to say something
about them. Think about it. All right, we'll be right back with more Freedom of Joy. Stay tuned for Nate Gray.
I like very much
radio. You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. HempUSA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
People of dumb. You can say what you want about this country, and I love this place. I love the freedoms we used to have. I love it. I love that. You know? I love it when it didn't take catastrophe to get us to care for one another. I love the fact that we're on camera all the time from all angles. But you know what? You can say what you want about America. And I say, I love this place. I wouldn't have it any other way. Wouldn't live in any other time in history in any other place. But say what you want about America, land of the free, home of the brave. We got some dumbass people floating around this country. Yeah. And this ain't just ranting and raving. This ain't just blowing off steam. I got a little evidence to support my claim. It just seems to me that only a really low IQ population could have taken this beautiful continent, this magnificent American landscape that we inherited. Well, actually, we stole it from the Mexicans and the Indians, but hey, it was nice when we stole it. It looked pretty good. It was pristine. Paradise. Have you seen it lately? Have you taken a good look at it lately? It's embarrassing. Only a nation of unenlightened half-wits could have taken this beautiful place and turned it into what it is today, a shopping mall. A big shopping mall. You know that? That's all you got. That's all you've got here, folks. Mile after mile of mall after mall. Many, many malls. Major malls and mini malls. They put the mini malls in between the major malls. And in between the mini malls, they put the mini marts. And in between the mini marts, you got the car lots, gas stations, muffler shops, laundromats, cheap hotels, fast food joints, strip clubs, and dirty bookstores. America the Beautiful. One big transcontinental commercial cesspool. And how do the people feel about all this? How do the people feel about living in a coast-to-coast shopping mall? Well, they think it's just dandy.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow, friendships to flourish, with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccine, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
You see, I grew up in America. I grew up in the land where phrases like, I have a dream, meant something. Where I believed that freedom existed, that's what I was fighting for, that our founding fathers made America the land of the free and the land of the brave. This is America, damn it, and I'm taking it back.
And now your host, Terry Joyce.
All right, welcome back to the Freedom of Joy show here on American Freedom Radio. I am actually broadcasting near the Starbucks, but you know what? I thought maybe I would be better outside my car, but I realized that all the chairs have been taken, so I'm going to go back to my vehicle here for a moment. But yeah, you're listening to the Freedom of Joy show here. Thank you so much for tuning in. With me is Nate Gray, and Nate is has been a part of some of the special programs. And we're going to find out a little bit more about him here in just a second. Welcome to the Freedom of Joy show, Nate. How are you today?
Glad to be here.
Great. I'm so happy to have you. We've had a little bit of discussion with one another. I did last night. I actually got to listen to you. I listened to your interview that you did with James Rink. So I got a little bit more information on you. And can you just, Lena, for you, this is the first time you've been on the Freedom of Joy show, and so can you just maybe let the listeners know what happened to you? You say that you're a mutant, and how did that happen to you?
Well, in most cases, people will mutate around puberty. But in my case, I think I was augmented at birth, so I was genetically engineered. Most cases, people are like that naturally.
Were you augmented in the womb before you were born, or was
My understanding of it was that I'm 60% from different sources. My mother's side's Jean Grey, so I'm 60% related to her on my mother's side, and I'm 40% related to the mother that gave birth to me, who, as far as I know, isn't enhanced or augmented in any way. And on my father's side, there was a guy named Damien Choppa, and I don't think he's depicted in Marvel. Basically, what I found out was that Marvel Comics, some of the characters are inspired by real people. I don't think the guy on my father's side was featured in them. But he was nearly identical to me, and some people call it age regression, where they take someone's DNA and kind of remake them again. Peter the Insider has been a good source of information. If you've seen James Rink's interviews with Peter the Insider, he confirmed that Damien Choppa was actually on my father's side. And Damien Choppa's ability was to trade mutant powers with people. It was like an equal trade. So he could give his power to you, and then he'd take your power as a trade. Jean Grey was a telepath, and she used telekinesis. That's what she did. The comics say that Cyclops is on my father's side, that's misleading. I don't think that's accurate based off of people that have background checked me. And I've been linked to three projects, Mutant X Project, Monarch, and Spellbinder. Do you have a question?
I do have a question. Why do you think that Marvel Comics has decided to do cartoon characters based on real people?
I'm not exactly sure. At first, it was anti-Nazi war propaganda. That's what they specialized in at the beginning. With Namor the Submariner, basically, he's some sort of merman creature that fought in the Second World War against the Nazis. He could attack U-boats. Then there are the Fantastic Four. I don't think they're mutants. What happened to them was they got exposed to radiation. The X-Men came out. Wasn't as big on anti-Nazi propaganda as Namor and Captain America was. Captain America is a depiction of the American version of the Übermensch, or, you know, super soldier, whatever. Things have gotten a lot more sinister since Captain America, when the Nazi scientists came over on Operation Paperclip. They started creating guys like Duncan O'Finian, who are super aggravated, drugged, you know, treated horribly, stuff like that. I don't really speak to Duncan, but I've spoken with his master, John Storm. John Storm's a Generation 1. Duncan's a Generation 2. On my website, ypxnews.com and supersoldierforum.com, I go into detail about that stuff.
You said that, you know, they were in you're saying that they're like Duncan is kind of like an old school, basically. What was done to him might have been a little bit more traumatic than the current group of people coming out of these programs. Are they a little bit more gentler on you guys?
Yeah, pretty much. I read Michael Aquino's Mind Wars book, and he said that they're actually nicer to the newer generation guys than the older MKs. They can control people's minds better without torturing them as much, I guess.
What are some of those techniques? I mean, how do they control minds now as opposed to the previous way?
Well, in Operation Spellbinder, that was like a sleeper cell kind of deal where they chose martial artists who took a Zionist martial art called Krav Maga, and they'd take them pretty young, like around 15 or so. When I was 15, I was competing with adults. I'm no longer active as a martial artist, but at the time, I was pretty obsessed with it. And what they would do is if they noticed a kid with potential in martial arts was that they would load them up with LSD and traumatize them into splitting their personalities. Then they'd have one personality that blent into society and another personality that listened to these Mossad people or CIA people. They're kind of allies. It could be either or. It's pretty sinister stuff. It's like a Zionist version of the Fourth Reich. A lot of people talk about the Fourth Reich, but not that many people talk about the Zionists. The Zionists, in my opinion, pound for pound, are probably the most dangerous group out there. There are not as many of them.
But Nate, to my understanding, and this is something that James Casbolt also revealed, and I've heard it with other people as well, that the Zionists and the Nazis are actually together now on everything that they're doing, pretty much.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy because he married into a Jewish family, even though he claimed he was part of the Third Reich or the Fourth Reich. Yeah, I don't know why his programming was so messed up, but he was into scat porn and all sorts of perverted stuff.
Are you talking about Casbolt?
Yeah.
Oh wow! I had okay. Ugh. Okay. Well, I mean, here's the deal. I guess I shouldn't be so judgmental on people, because I think that a lot of those that have been in programs like this probably do have things that would be kind of what people would consider to be gross or antisocial, just because they've been programmed that way, right? Or they've got these different issues. Makes sense.
Well, there's several theories about Casbolt. One theory was that he was replaced by a clone. It's also possible he was reprogrammed into committing social suicide. He was famous for a while until he blackmailed and stalked his wife. And he sent naked pictures of her doing disgusting things to everyone. And he tried to get 2 million pounds from her, which is like $3 million. So he's in jail right now because of that stuff. He was pretty brutal to his wife, who was a rich billionaire who owns a giant company in America. Her name was Haley Meyer. I haven't communicated with her in a long time. Yeah, she's not on the internet anymore because of Casbolt and his followers were harassing her and stuff. Everyone thinks she's part of Project Monarch. I didn't find out I was part of that until Peter the Insider told me I was part of it. I don't know a whole lot about Monarch programming. James Rink knows a lot more about it. He wrote a book about it. I read part of it. It went over Monarch programming.
Why does now who exactly is Peter the Insider?
He's the leader of a group of people in Australia. The base is called Pine Gap. I think it's called the ACIO. It's a group that deals with extraterrestrials and. And they don't like the Monarch people. They don't like the Fourth Reich. I haven't asked them about the Zionists. I'm not sure what their views are on Zionists. But his database had a bunch of information on mutants. Like, he had a bunch of info on me, and he had info on Jean Grey, and he knew who Damian Chapa was. And yeah, he knows a lot of stuff because of that database. I might be in an interview with him next week on the Rink Show.
Okay, I want to get back to you, actually. And so you were you basically kind of made in a test tube and then implanted into somebody else's womb?
I think true test tube babies don't have belly buttons. I know I have one. Some of the clones don't have them because they never came out of a womb. I was attached to an umbilical cord in a womb. I'm not sure exactly how they did it, but I think they messed with the embryo and the sperm. I'm not sure.
And what is it like with your mutation? What abilities did that give you?
Let's see. A couple years ago, I found out that a bone can come out of my wrist if I'm triggered. It's kind of like the bones Wolverine has, but it comes out of my palm area. It's a very weird thing. I've had a scar there my whole life, but I couldn't remember how the scar got there. I don't have Wolverine's heal factor, so when that bone comes out and in, it leaves a scar. It leaves an opening. It doesn't heal immediately. It takes like a couple days to heal. And I don't have control over it. I've been programmed, so I can't use my abilities unless they give me a code word or something, unless I'm triggered by accident. Peter's a little bit scared of me because he's scared he'll trigger me. But he's in Australia and I'm in America, so I don't know what he has to be afraid of unless he knows something about me I don't know about me.
What kind of programs do you think or do you remember that you've been triggered for?
Well, the Spellbinder one was to split a personality, and that didn't work on me, which is good. The Mutant X project is about creating mutants. Monarch has something to do with time travel. They seem to target a lot of rich people. I'm not sure why. They say Hayley Meyer was part of Monarch and she was a billionaire.
I didn't know Monarch was part of a part of time travel.
That's what I've learned about it. I wish I knew more about it. Do you know anything about it?
Well, you know, I know a little bit about Monarch programming. I know that that's something that they use a lot. It seems like in the entertainment business, you know, like with the women, they have Monarch. But in terms of the time travel aspect, I mean, I'm familiar with listening to people like Andrew Passaggio and you know, Max, you know, has talked about some stuff. I mean, other people have talked about time travel. Time travel the Montauk Project and there's a guy that's online. He has videos. I think he goes by the name Zaykos, or it's Zaekos. He claims to have been in the Monarch program, not Monarch, but the Montauk program, and, you know, time travel, and a lot of things that actually have been happening with time travel based on the Philadelphia experiment and, you know, a certain group of people going from, like, 1948 to 1984 and back and forth and things like this. But, you know, having it be specifically associated to, you know, Monarch, tagged that way, that you're the first person that I've heard made that correlation, actually.
Okay, well, I'm not a Montauk boy, and I'm not an MK Ultra, as far as I know, which is good on both counts. I'm a little bit more valuable than a Montauk boy. Montauk boys are usually used as, like, lab rats. They get mistreated and studied and stuff. Let's see. What was I thinking about?
So you were actually, I mean, you have been basically, you're a designer baby, basically, really. I mean, you've been designed before, at birth to be able to do certain things, as opposed to them testing a group of kids and realizing that they could be qualified or used for these purposes.
Yeah, I was designed by scientists or something like that. I had some telekinesis as a kid, but I don't remember lifting anything important. I remember lifting an empty box a couple inches. I don't remember being able to apply what I could do to accomplish anything. As far as the psychic stuff goes, I don't usually hear anything back unless I'm talking to someone who's already psychic. but I think I've been able to project my thoughts into people's minds, which is like being one-way psychic, I guess. People hearing my thoughts, I've had complaints about that before. If I get stressed out or triggered, sometimes people might hear what's going on in my head. Adapting to survive underwater is another thing I've been told I could do. That's what Namor could do. I don't remember it very well, but mer people and dolphin people, stuff like that, are very real. Those exist too. Have you ever heard anything about them?
I have a little bit. I really have. Not the mer people so much. I mean, a little bit mer people, but. There's that one super soldier, Aaron McCollum, who apparently has some sort of dolphin connection and maybe some abilities. And if I can remember right, it's been a while since I've watched his videos, but I have heard of that connection. And I've also heard of people having their DNA mixed with certain animals, and then because of that, they have different abilities. But those things tend to be more, I think they're a little bit older when they're doing it, as opposed to having it, having it being done in the uterus or through actual baby or birth kind of situations. When did you start to realize that you weren't the other boys and girls in school?
Well, it became abundantly clear in 2011 when I got sent to room 17 at Methodist Hospital in Houston. After the bone came out of my wrist, I kind of went insane and got hospitalized. Then when I was there, I met a bunch of other mutants and other government officials using the hospital. Storm was there. She worked as part of the staff. And she's an old black woman with sort of grayish lines in her hair. Her hair is how you can kind of tell her apart. She knew who I was, but I had almost no memories of her. They tried to recruit me for Department of Naval Intelligence before that, when I got out of high school, when they tried to recruit me for DNI. And they taught me some basics about aliens, but they didn't tell me that my body was augmented. I had no memories of a bone coming out of my wrist, even though it had happened before. And my memories started coming back when they put me on meds and as you get closer to age 30, your memories come back from your mind being erased. I don't know how many times my mind's been wiped, but they have a deneuralizer, like in Men in Black, and it can wipe people's minds by using a hypnotic light. So it was weird running into people who knew who I was, and I didn't know who they were. That black guy in Origins Wolverine who could teleport was there. I think he got PTSD because Sabretooth grabbed his spine and almost killed him, which was featured in the movie. And I said, was the movie accurate? Because sometimes Hollywood blows things out of proportions. He told me that's exactly what happened to him. He also told me that you needed double top secret to learn who I was, and that there was lots of stuff they wouldn't tell him about me, and he was frustrated he couldn't look me up. There was a man in black named Jay Collins who tried to look me up, but he got silenced. I haven't talked to him in a couple months. But this Peter guy looked me up. His information seemed to be correct. There was another guy named Felton who looked me up, who said I was Mutant X. Then I met a woman in the FBI that told me I was Spellbinder, and that Spellbinder got shut down because they were abusing, like, underage people for that project, and that was morally wrong to use someone under 18. Yeah, I don't even remember a lot of that stuff, which is weird. Who else did I meet in there? I met an engineer who worked for DNI who didn't like me, who knew Damian Chapa. He was around during the 80s or so. I guess he died around 88, around the time I was born. I also went to the same summer camp as Damian Chapa. So when I went to summer camp there, they told me I looked just like him. Let's see. And I think I'd been to that hospital before as a kid. I had memories of meeting Mr. Fantastic, that stretchy guy, and Sue when I was a kid. I think I was around 7 or so. That was when I was around then. It's hard to remember because of how young I was. But basically, I met a guy that could stretch himself like rubber bands, and a woman that could turn herself invisible. And they were both very old when I was a kid. They're probably dead now. yeah. I think Quicksilver was there too. He's an old man. He wears tennis shoes and goggles, which kind of gives him away. Yeah, and some people were visiting me, just to visit me, made me feel like I was important or something. I didn't know I was important in any way. I kind of saw myself as a failure because Department of Naval Intelligence rejected me. When they taught me about the aliens, I kind of freaked out about that. But now I'm getting used to the idea that aliens are out there, and I'm learning a lot about them.
What kind of aliens did they tell you about?
Well, they went the four basic types I learned about were the small grays, the large grays, there were reptilians, and the Nordics. There's so many, but those are the four basic types I was allowed to learn about. I did an episode on reptilians that Michael Spindler helped me with on my YPXnews.com website if you want to look at the videos I've done there.
Sure. You know what? Can you give your website out again right now for the listeners to hear?
YPXnews.com. You can look for it on YouTube as well. I also run SuperSoldierForum.com. I've been running that forum for a couple years. John Storm's on it, James Rink's on it, Michael Spindler's on it, some other My Labs are on it that haven't really gone public yet. Oh yeah, Ghost Rider and Molecule Man are on it too. I interview them in my audio interview section of YPXnews.com. So I've been doing interviews about once a week. I put it in my audio interview section.
How many people like you are out there, would you say?
Peter says there are a bunch of us, but there are not many Omega-level mutants. Storm told me I was 1% of 1%, which was a compliment. She said there are not many people like me out there that are Omega level. Yeah. So there are a bunch of mutants, though, but not all the mutations are useful. Anything that mutates, I guess, is a mutation. But, yeah.
Okay, you're giving, I mean, this is, I think this is fascinating, just the idea. I mean, like, okay, how many people have not watched X-Men and, you know, fantasized about having special abilities that like that? Or, I mean, again, this is, it kind of falls into sort of the superhero aspect. I know that X-Men kind of, you know, at least in the movies, you know, you get the feeling of the, you know, being different and the isolation of being different and, you know, all that kind of stuff that goes along with it. And then, you know, the interaction between the X-Men and the government and you know, how, you know, they kind of, in a sense, are kind of rogue characters being battled against the system but also being manipulated by the system. Does that make any – am I correct in that assessment of how these films are being depicted or the Marvel comics?
Yeah. Storm told me that the X-Men were disbanded and she couldn't keep the school together after the professor died. Another weird thing is me and John Storm have both met Peter Parker, and we both know that he's black. He's depicted as a white teenager when he's really an old black man now. So not all the depictions are 100% accurate. And as far as we know, Spider-Man's black.
I don't know why I'm laughing at that. That's like, it took me back to Jesus, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Jesus is like, pictures of Jesus are blonde hair and blue-eyed, you know, man. When we don't, you know, obviously the shroud of Jesus or other, you know, things may not be that way. But it's just funny to me to think that Spider-Man is actually an old black man. I don't know. I'm thinking of like Morgan Freeman or something. Samuel L. Jackson as Spider-Man. Okay, let me stop. All right. That's interesting. And again, to even hear Peter Parker or Spider-Man as being even remotely real is kind of surprising, really. That how far back has the I don't know, the comic world and the actual science world been connected?
Well, John Storm's a Generation One MK, and he was in the Navy with Peter Parker, and he said they sparred together while they were in the Navy. When I met him, he was in the Salvation Army choir. He visited me when I was in the hospital. He visited my middle school, too, when I was around 13, which is something I could hardly remember.
There's something that I'd like to bring up that you mentioned on the show that I watched, which where you were on James Rink's show. You talked about a video game that recruited people I'm fascinated by games and movies and things like that that have extra things to them that when you take their test or whatever, they're actually fishing for a certain type of person to bring into a program. Can you talk about that video game a little bit?
No problem. The most well-known video game that does that's called America's Army. That game was free at one time, so it was for all income levels. This game costed money. It was called Chrome Hounds, and a lot of people playing it didn't know that the things they were playing with are actually prototypes being tested at facilities similar to Area 51. They're basically an upgrade from a tank. I think Israel's starting to use them, but America, I don't think, has deployed any. Some are robots, and some have cockpits, and you can have a tank gun on them, or a machine gun, or helicopter weapons, homing missiles, all sorts of crazy weapons. You get to design your own. The guy I played with went by the call sign J-Ridge, J-R-I-D-G-E. He's dead now. He got cancer from working in Area 51 and S4 because they're radioactive, which is part of the reason I didn't want to work at Area 51 was because of the radiation. I didn't want to get cancer. And he would use that game to recruit people, and he knew exactly who I was, which was kind of freaky, because I was just playing military simulations with him. I don't play Chrome Hounds anymore because it makes me sad because J-Ridge died. I think he got shot. He was going to die of cancer anyway. But I met his daughter. His daughter's super pretty. She visited me when I was in the hospital, told me that J-Ridge was dead. Then I knew that J-Ridge wasn't BSing me. At first I thought he had a tinfoil hat. I didn't believe anything he said. But once I met with his daughter and I met with Storm and all these people, I realized that aliens were real, mutants were real, it wasn't all in my head. Kind of like when Duncan O'Finian's chip in his neck broke and he suddenly remembered being an MK. It was kind of like that for me.
It must be really trippy to all of a sudden, you know, realize that, you know, you start having memories that you're remembering, and then, you know, to go back and then find out medical reasons to justify what you're remembering. I can only imagine what that must be like. Was it frightening for you in any way?
Well, when I left there, it was kind of lonely, so I did some research. I found Duncan O'Finian through the conspiracy theory show with Jesse Ventura. So I researched conspiracies, then I learned about James Casbolt. I tried to reach him, but no one was helping me. I did an interview on Project Camelot with Carrie Cassidy, and she wouldn't help me. She didn't really listen to anything I said. That wasn't very helpful. Someone contacted me and hooked me up with James Rink. Then I think James Rink hooked me up with everyone else. Duncan despises me, though. He called me a phony bastard. Which is weird, because his master, John Storm, knows that I'm real, and he knows that Peter Parker's real. But Duncan doesn't want to associate with me, which I guess is fine.
All right. I want to get back to that game for a second. I'm fascinated by the fact that there are games out there that are testing and recruiting people into certain programs. There's something else I want to point out about a movie called The Cell. And it stars Jennifer Lopez in it, and it's got Vince Vaughn. And basically, Vincent D'Onofrio, and he plays a serial killer, and there's a child that's in a coma. She's got to help. She goes into, like, this kind of suspended kind of you know, strings are kind of hanging, and she's like, both the child and her kind of hanging side by side. And then she's able to enter the child's head and his dream state, or maybe that's the child's astral plane. And she can go in there, and she's there to help the child through this, maybe to wake it up or eventually or however. And then she gets in contact with the evil guy who basically is a serial killer with a woman that they're trying to find the location, and she's trying to go through there, and they can figure out what's going on through this particular dream. Now that's the plot line, okay? And it's I guess it's a well-known director, and it's visually stunning to look at in terms of art decoration and all that kind of stuff. But with the DVD version, there is a test given at the end of, like, you can find it on the DVD version, and it's basically an empathy test. And I took the test, actually. I was at my friend's house, and I watched the movie, and he goes, "Oh, we've all taken this test, so why don't you take it?" It was just fun. We were just having fun with it. Why don't you take this test? So I took the test, and honestly, I mean, and Nate, I've done a lot of tests, like quizzes, like whatever. What's that magazine? Chick magazines have all these like little quizzes that you can take, and you can, you know, find out however. And normally, I've never ever gotten a perfect score, but this time I got a perfect score. I mean, I didn't miss one. I got the highest score on every single question that I could have, you know, taken. And I was with my friends, and they we were sitting there, and we were like, oh my God, you know, my friend was like, oh, I didn't even score that high. And a little thing popped up after that happened with me that the other guys didn't get. And it said, you know, if you've tested between this margin and this margin, we might have a job for you, and we would like to talk to you. And I don't recall calling it, okay? I'm just going to say that. I don't recall pursuing it. I didn't really take it, you know, seriously or anything like that. But I found out later on David Wilcock wrote about that movie that he passed in his blog. And apparently, if you tested, you had empathy. You had empathy levels to psychic abilities, and that the CIA uses people like that in their particular programs. And so I'm just, you know, I don't know, I'm thinking about that right now, about how, you know, movies and there's also games are actually designed to find those people to be used for their programs. I don't know, I just find that fascinating that actually exists.
Yeah, they might have thought you were an empath. An empath is someone that feels other people's emotions. Kind of like being a psychic, but not. It's when you feel emotions, which is different from remote viewing. Remote viewing is where you see through their eyes, and psychics where you read their mind.
Yeah, I have to admit that I am that. I have that, the empath thing. I've talked to therapists the last therapist I had a long time ago, I would go to therapy once in a while, and one of my therapists basically said that was that that I because I talked about being at a party, and I was uncomfortable, but I had no reason to be uncomfortable. And that's when I first kind of realized that. She says, well, it wasn't your emotion, probably. and kind of said that having that kind of ability, that you were able to feel other people's emotions without even reading their face, kind of thing. So there are things that you have to do to take care of yourself if you've got that ability, because, you know, if it goes unchecked, you're picking up everybody's emotions, and then you're just a freaking mess walking around, and you can't get yourself grounded to your own self. So, yeah, I mean, I do admit it's an asset. To be able to do that, but at the same time, you know, you have to realize that what you're working with, and apparently that ability is used for programs, and they recruit people for that. That's kind of wild in a way. It just makes you wonder. This is the thing. I mean, the point about, I think part of the reason why I have such curiosity about people like you or Duncan or, you know, Max or however, it is the potential of the human being and or the human being and the crossover of something else, or the mutation or whatever, but the actual abilities that we can organically harness and you know, have developed, and obviously they've been able to develop things with enhancement drugs, with genetics, with programming, with all those different things. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of you guys have been treated like lab rats, you know what I mean, or you've been, you know, traumatized in order to have your split personalities, and you've lived with doing things that you were unaware of, perhaps, and then you get your memories wiped, et cetera. So obviously, you're being used for things that are not good, maybe not good for the planet and not good for humanity. And you're serving the agenda of the people who would you be considered to be nefarious in there. I mean, it's the war machine. It's for military purposes. And, you know, I've often wondered what would it be like if you guys were, if these were things that were normal with people, that we do have telekinesis, we do have psychic abilities that are natural. The human person was meant to be so much more than they are at this point. Like, we're basically all lobotomized with fluoride, walking around like zombies. What would the world look like if we had a different love consciousness or whatever's going on? What would the world look like if we were able to expand in all the glory of what's possible? That's my question about it.
Well, I wish that they would declassify the aliens. The government's scared of losing control. They're scared of declassifying mutants because people could discriminate against us. And if they let us use our powers for any way we want to, we could do stuff with them that's harmful, kind of like gun control. Right now they're doing power control. So they justify it by taking away our liberties for security, which is what Ben Franklin warned us about. They're taking away our liberty to use our abilities, our agency to use them. And they're trying to mind control all of us. And the fluoride not only interferes with your psychic abilities, it also makes you compliant. The NSDAP, or the Nazis, or the Third Reich, whatever you want to call them, did experiments with fluoride on Jews, and they'd stick the fluoride in the Jews' mouth, and the Jews became compliant after they got a good dose of fluoride. So they put fluoride in the drinking water, claiming that it helps your teeth. I'd like to know if fluoride actually helps teeth or not. I use fluoride toothpaste. I'm thinking about switching to non-fluoride toothpaste. I ordered some of that recently. I know Prozac, I think Prozac has fluoride in it. That's happy pills. They gave those to me when I was a teenager. Yeah, I think those are pretty bad for you.
Can I ask you something on, and you don't have to answer this because I realize I'm being a little bit personal here, but what, I mean, being, like, living, having to deal with, like, what you, I mean, you know, like, your abilities and going through being, you know, through a program, how does this affect your personal relationships with people? I mean, are you able to, I mean, do you feel, I mean, has it affected your dating life? I mean, your ability to connect to things that that most people would be considered how life is, you know, like I think, like, I mean, if you, when we watch movies and stuff like that, or we're integrated, oh, you know, you date, you find the person, you get married, you have your family, you do blank, 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 and it all sounds kind of boring, doesn't it? Sort of. I don't mean to sound boring. Like, and then you go to school, and then you die. Okay. Okay, but. I mean, has it been difficult for you? I mean, do you feel a sense of isolation in any way?
Exactly. I feel very alienated. Yeah, people that understand what I am could react in fear or think I'm strange. The government values my DNA, but for some reason girls don't. Yeah, I don't really understand some stuff like that. Yeah, relationships interfere with our programming, so they don't want us to have relationships unless it's to create more weapons. I've heard rumors that drugs can interfere with the programming too, but I don't use drugs unless they're prescribed. Yeah, apparently love can interfere with the programming. And it's hard for me to find a girl that wants to date me that understands what I am at the same time. Yeah. I guess I'm very different even from other people like me.
I was just wondering, I mean, I realize, like, sometimes dating and finding, you know, someone to be with is difficult in and of itself, but I mean, I can only imagine to come in and I mean, it would be different if, you know, you were secretive about all of this and maybe you were like Clark Kent and, you know, you just, you know, you were able to give two images to the woman that you love, or Peter Parker, Spider-Man or whatever. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, you're right now on American Freedom Radio. You have websites, you've done other shows. So you're out about what you're talking about, and I would imagine that there's some people that just don't even believe anything that you're saying. They just think, oh, this guy has got some sort of a dissociative disorder or something, where, you know, you think that you're like these characters, but you're not really. I would imagine that there's some of that out there for you.
Yeah. I'm actually very hard to get to disassociate. They disassociated Duncan really badly. They tortured him to split his personality. I guess they tried a watered down version of that on me, and I heard it didn't work. I don't remember it, thank goodness. But if it did work, then they could have used my other personality to do pretty much whatever they wanted. And then if captured or caught, I would have no idea what I did. And then I would be a patsy or something. So it's good that didn't happen to me.
Well, I really appreciate you for being on the show today. I know that we've been a little bit touch and go here. And you know, I have to apologize for my own kind of flakiness in getting this together just because of what, you know, some of the things that I've been dealing with. But I do want to thank you for being here. And, again, where can our listeners find you at?
You can go to ypxnews.com. There's a contact us section at the top. There's also a forum section. When you click on the forum, it leads you to supersoldierforum.com. I can be contacted through the forum or through ypxnews.com. I can also be found on Facebook under the name Nate Gray. I hope you all visit my website, listen to my interviews, and visit my forum and watch my YouTube episodes.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Freedom of Joy show. I will be here tomorrow, and stay tuned for Chocotelli next. Thanks. Good night.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Because, folks, I gotta tell you, when it comes to bullshit, truly major league bullshit, you have to stand back in awe of the all-time heavyweight champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. Organized religion. It's no contest. Religion easily has the best bullshit story of all time. Think about it. Religion has convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a list of 10 specific things he doesn't want you to do. And if you do any of these things, he will send you to a special place of burning and fire and smoke and torture and anguish for you to live forever and suffer and burn and scream until the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you. He loves you and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, and all-wise. Just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions and billions of dollars. They pay no taxes, and somehow they always need money. You talk about a good bullshit story. If I may be permitted a small pun, holy shit!
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.